Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 Keough Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. And welcome to part two of an interview with Siobhan Spain, Executive Director of Mainframe Studios, because we're focusing in particular around how we build that arts community now that we're working more virtually than ever before. And last episode, we visited a lot about the resources that are available and Siobhan's own personal experiences with COVID-19. It hit her family, her household directly. She's recovering and doing quite a little bit of work on behalf of Mainframe artists and all folks in the arts in our greater Des Moines metro. So Siobhan, tell me a little bit about what you're seeing as these artists are trying to navigate kind of potentially new business models. We touched a lot last time on some of the emergency relief resources available, but this virtual world maybe has its implications beyond this period. And so what are you seeing as some of the shifts people are making?
Well, I think like a lot of us, the first phase of the shift is adjusting to a new world everywhere we look. So, yeah. Like for instance, I'm in my television room at home while my daughter plays outside and rides her bike. You know, they're out of school, and how do you keep a job and your work going no matter who you are, given the reality that one, anybody with kids are severely impacted just schedule-wise. So it's been really interesting to navigate that and just reassess how to do work, when to do work, and navigating the schedule within the house is so much more important than it used to be. We used to have so much more freedom, not just to be around each other, but just to be able to do what we want when we want to. So I think a lot of our artists, a good portion of them, are adjusting to that first. And I found a lot of us were just figuring it out. And now I think I'm finding that now adjusting to, like, now we have the schedule down a little bit more. How do we get back to work and be efficient as we can when we're at work? You know, obviously, so much more has gone online. Any meeting you have has to be online. Just the webinar through the Iowa Arts Council, the Zoom meetings, our board meetings are going online. We're trying to navigate just through email and text a lot more. I can't just go visit and talk with an artist in their studio like I used to. Hopefully we'll get back to that for a little bit, like at least social distancing, but even people are afraid of that for the most part, especially me, since I've been very directly impacted. I just am so aware of keeping distance, self-isolating in that true sense of it.
So one of the things I was wondering about is, you have a mix of artists there at Mainframe, some of whom actually really functioned with their studios as kind of their point of sale.
Yeah.
And the kind of their home base operations with maybe minimal online presence. Mm-hmm. Are they struggling more than those who might have had a more robust online presence before this started?
Absolutely. I think it's really testing people that do not have an online presence. It tests people who do. And so if you think about somebody that really is more on the tactile, in-person relationships, the workshops, there are just no workshops. And people aren't used to paying for workshops online, you know, even if they're virtual. So I think I'm hoping that will shift and that people will be able to get supplies at home and do a virtual painting class, for instance. I think that would be really therapeutic for people and a lot of fun. And even people could do it with their kids at home. But so I think it is a gradual shift for people who rely more on in-person, just trying to figure out what's right for them. And I think those are the people that are having anxiety attacks that, you know, depend on their studio practice for their livelihood. This is huge for them. And it's heartbreaking, but we'll get through it. And we're trying to focus our efforts on supporting those artists more, just as far as like advisory, through our relief fund, through seeing how we can promote their work and help them, I guess, brainstorm ideas for how to keep their work viable and getting the word out about our artists. So we're certainly shifting from focusing on our events to focusing on promoting our individual artists. So that's, as far as Mainframe goes, one of the aspects that we're shifting as well.
So thinking about this virtual community piece here, both the virtual arts community, which you've kind of referred to already by virtue of the different kinds of meetings that you're having to go online with and those kinds of interactions and their need to get their business models more online and, you know, just navigate that kind of space. Talk to me about the audience. These folks, like myself, who used to go to First Friday, I know I have some friends who are starting to host concerts online.
Mm-hmm.
Home Diddy's moved online. Des Moines Music Coalition has some hip-hop classes online. But what about this, in particular, maybe the visual arts, theater arts? What are you seeing or what are you hoping for as you're doing your brainstorming of how audience can still exist and interact and be engaged in these worlds? Like I said, I guess we're seeing music start to take advantage, but I'm not so sure we're seeing some of the other arts communities doing the same thing as aggressively, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I think that it is happening, but maybe at a slower pace. Before I contracted COVID, we have this great intern, Sabrina Carper, who's with Grandview University. We started getting video equipment and wanting to start interviewing artists because I think video is such a powerful tool these days. And kind of doing studio visits with our artists so our audience can still see what their favorite artists are up to, how keep them on top of mind in their practice, and keeping that relationship going even though it's not in person anymore. So I see that as something that we will be doing as Mainframe, the organization, is trying to do more videos and interactions with the artists. I think artists individually are thinking of different ways to stay active online and build their audience, or I guess at least keep their audience very active. It's more personalized. It's very interesting how we used to take so much for granted. We'll just take for granted that people will come by and stop in on any random day, not just First Fridays. But now it really takes a concerted effort, because even though video and online presence is great, you still have to fight for that attention a little differently than in person and those organic meetings. Because, you know, when we first started Mainframe, people were like, oh, it's hard to quantify, you know, how this is going to impact your community, because there'll be these chance meetings, these collaborations. That's kind of what I'm a little afraid of losing. Because you can't predict, you know, where videos you are being very intentional and it's kind of prescribed, where if you have these interactions during First Friday or maybe in the hallway between artists, it's the unpredictability, the organic relationship and conversation developments that, one, I think artists are missing and will look forward to, but we have to make an effort to continue the conversation in one form or another until we can get back to that. So I think it's a challenge. I think it is, I hope, I'm kind of an optimistic person. I hope it's going to pay off for us in the long run, is to consider how we alter the way we see each other and interact with each other and put ourselves out there. I'm very, you know, it seems odd to say, I'm kind of excited to see what comes of it long term, and not that I don't miss our first Fridays and all that energy that comes in the building with it. I just absolutely love it. I'm curious to see what will come out of it in the long run.
Well, if you were going to be a prognosticator here for a moment, nobody's going to hold you to it. But what do you see as the kind of more, if not permanent, more dominant changes that might start to occur over time, assuming that, you know, things, and I'm pretty sure it's safe to say, things aren't going to get back to normal in the next 4 weeks.
No, and I think that's what I try to convey. It's like, this is long term. So let's just imagine that basically social distancing is not something we need to do anymore. You still have to contend with the factor that people won't feel comfortable, even if it is okay. So I think we're really in it for the long term, and we have to think that way. So I think, unfortunately, this will be a challenge for some artists to either step up their game or maybe get out of the game. It will be a natural selection, I guess, in some ways. I think people that are able to have multiple ways of selling their work are by far safer. You know, Naughty Nail, who was in our building and we incubated, and she's in the Valley Junction now with her own storefront. You know, if you think about all the avenues that she had workshops, she had online sales, she had custom options, she had do-it-yourself kits that you could bring home. So just think of all those different avenues that provided income generating possibilities. Now, she just happened to be a very savvy business person as well. And so not every artist should be expected to be a savvy business person. If I had my way, and this is how Mainframe kind of functions, it's like, just do the work that you're in the way you need to. Artists work so many different ways, and they and that's the beauty of it, and that's where their inspiration and their creativity comes from. So you can't put a definition on how that happens. But if people aren't that savvy, I'm hoping agents for art will step up more. It's something that I think Des Moines has been lacking, and I think it's slowly starting. So agents mean gallery owners, independent art curators or consultants, store owners that could sell work on behalf of our artists, just more outlets for our artists to be able to reach a broader audience. So I'm hoping that the people that can't do the business side, they can partner and find resources that help them make up the difference. If that makes sense.
Well, you answered the question before I asked it. I was about to say, well, is this an opportunity? So that as opposed to, you know, natural selection, which I realize some of that will occur, but might there in fact be a role? And you're basically saying, yes, we need to step up our game with the agents and the representatives to help folks whose main job is to produce powerful art.
Yeah, I think, you know, for instance, people that do have that business savvy instinct, what if they were able to not just sell their own work, but other works of other artists and pair with them? You know, any kind of online store, if they could think about how to expand their inventory. And, you know, we have so many artists from different walks of life that do so many different things. We have kids' clothing, Bitty Buttons. She does a wonderful job out of and just producing such awesome pieces of clothing for kids through, I think she goes through size 8. And we have people that do fine art, obviously. We have artists that do fashion and pottery, so ceramic pieces that are functional, but also sculptural. I think the ways that we are able to expand how artists reach their audience is going to be key right now. So not just virtual as far as themselves getting online, but how do they connect with other people that are really good at it? Some things that I've been watching on Instagram has been exciting as far as visual artists go. They have these offers, for instance, that say, hey, send me a photo that you want me to paint and you can buy it online, this, you know, custom piece. And then if you want to add a frame on top of it, we can do that. They've sold mm-hmm. out in the artists that I've been following. Ben Shu has been doing things like that. He can't really safely work out of his studio at Mainframe. So he's been at home and his sales have dropped dramatically. Jesse Bogenreef, he's selling glass eggs and trying to reach people in a different way because foot traffic for him was just paramount. So we're finding that trying to brainstorm ideas for him to get other people thinking about how they can help pick up the slack and help represent him. I think that would be an awesome opportunity.
Well, I know we got to get wrapped up here, but I cannot help asking kind of a really super big picture question because you're such an idea person and an optimist. And I think it would be fair to say that one of the things that this COVID-19 has really revealed, if people were not fully aware of it before, is just this great economic disparity that we have in our country right now, and that it's really hitting gig workers, artists, freelancers, contract people so particularly hard. And I'm wondering what you see as the potential for a back end, for this to become a game changer at the back end in terms of trying to level that playing field more?
I think that's a really great question. I mean, there's disparities in so many different ways in our country, but speaking specifically of these independent creatives that we're talking about, I think an awareness on a federal level, state level, county level of how much these people contribute to our economy, and hopefully getting programs in place that safeguard them and boost them as much, because you see so many programs out there for bigger corporations and these people creating jobs. I'm like, well, these people are creating jobs like 100% if you want to go by percentages, you know, even though it's an individual, multiply that by millions. And I just think that they've been completely underserved as far as federal and state programs. And I think of how much people are stepping up to help keep them in place and supportive during this particular time. I'm really hoping some form stays intact long term for these people and that they have safety nets that other people have and kind of take for granted. People that, I mean, I'm lucky to still be on salary right now. I mean, just think, I don't think people that don't have a salary, as much as we can challenge ourselves to relate to people that don't operate that way, I think will do us, our country and our economy, such a favor in the long term. And I'm hoping that that's what's happening on a government level.
Me too. And I do want to mention that at that webinar from the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs that you and I both participated in, got to listen in, Sally Dix of Bravo said that the arts are so important for economic development and resiliency. And I believe this part's a direct quote, that the arts will be the backbone of whatever recovery comes through.
Yeah, because, you know, I was thinking to be creative is a safety net, you know, because in our changing economy, to be able to be resourceful, and there's studies out there to say, you know, tap into your creativity for job security. And I think if we can bridge that gap, like you said, would be ideal. You know, there's just so much to do and so much to impact and get the word out there just how much our creative community matters, and hoping that people reach out how they can.
Well, I would encourage folks to go to the Mainframe website and click on the GoFundMe page piece so that you get an opportunity to donate directly to these Mainframe artists that for a couple of years now here, we've been enjoying their work the first Friday of every month at a minimum. And now they kind of need us as we need them. As a reminder, that website address is mainframestudios.org. So please do that if you will. And we'll be back with new episodes of 900 Views Podcast in the near future. And I've been meaning to mention that there are some great resources out there. We've talked about the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, Iowa Workforce Development, but also Culture Buzz and Art Beacon are doing some wonderful things in terms of bringing resources together and also promoting some of the different activities that are happening in the virtual world. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Alex Cooney, for recording this. Siobhan Spain, thank you so much for the great contributions that you and Justin Mandelbaum and others have been making to the arts community to keep things moving forward.
Thank you, Pat.
This is 900 Views Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Bodie. Thanks for joining us.